Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Thank you, Lord. I want to give you the word of the Lord. It's important that I get this word out today, and I want to get it out. I won't preach real long. I'll probably preach an abbreviated portion of this message and finish it up on Wednesday night, but we'll just see how it goes with the Lord. I want to talk to you today about obeying the commandment of love. Obeying the commandment of love. It's not difficult. There's all kinds of love in the world. There's friendship love, and there's romantic love, and neighborly love, and all of that. And that's wonderful. But then there's this unconditional love of God, where there's nothing else to compare to it, nothing like it. The way God loves you is He loves you unconditionally. He never puts any conditions on you. He loves you. He loves you because that's who He is. That's His nature. He cannot help but love you. But you've got to believe this, then you've got to receive it. You have to not just say, yeah, I believe it intellectually. You have to believe it by faith, that God loves you unconditionally. Even your sin cannot stop God from loving you. It's amazing. I believe you have to have an encounter with God some way, somehow, a revelation, your eyes be opened, your heart be opened to receive this revelation of the love of God, because there's nothing like it on earth except God. And once you believe it, then you receive it by faith, and then it's natural for you to express it. Because once you're born of God, born of love, you have it. It's a natural expression now. It's not something you have to try to work up. It's a natural thing. If you've been born of God, you're going to look like God and act like God, talk like God, be like God. Not perfectly in every way, because we got flesh to deal with and the world and the devil and all that, but it's just going to be, without any effort, if you're born of God, you're going to be like Him. You're going to be godly, God-like. And so you have to be born of God first. It's not something you can try to do. One indicator, if you've really been born of God, you want to find out? You want to know? One indicator is what Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Look at this. And Derry preached on this last year. And here's what Jesus had to say in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "For you, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, you're familiar with that. But most people don't read this the right way. Most people will read this as, "I've got to forgive so I can be forgiven." That's not what Jesus is saying. Most people read this, "I've got to forgive so I can be forgiven. And if I don't forgive, then I'm not forgiven." That's not what Jesus is saying. Though it may look like it there on the surface. This is something you have to experience, or you'll be a very frustrated religious person. And you have to experience unconditional love of God. You have to have a revelation come into your heart, how much God loves you, the way God loves you. It's not like the way the world loves people. It's totally different. You have to experience this, or you're going to be a very frustrated person. You're going to say, "Well, I'm going to try." And most people read this and say, "Well, I've got to forgive them so I can be forgiven." No, that's religion. That's still, the focus is still on you. It's not on God. You can't give what you have not received. If you have not received unconditional forgiveness, unconditional love, you can't give it. You can try, you can fake it, but you can't really give it, because you can't give to others what you have not received yourself. One indicator that you are truly born again, that you are a son of God, is you test their love. You test people's love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, basically it says this, everything that shines is not gold. Everything that talks like, sounds like, talks like God's not necessarily from God. The Bible tells us we have to test the spirits. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't be gullible. But test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So we have to test the spirits of brothers and sisters or people who claim to be brothers and sisters to find out if they line up with God. You check with the Word of God. First of all, they ought to agree with the Word of God. The Bible is our final authority of life. It's not my opinion, not your opinion, but the Bible is God's final authority in all matters, period. But one of the ways you test, another way you test the spirits is you test their love. If someone says, I'm a Christian, but there's somebody in my life I just cannot forgive, you just tested that spirit. What kind of love do they have? It's not the love of God. It's not God's love. So if somebody here would say, well, preacher, you don't know how horrible they treated me. I was abused. I was molested. I was raped. You don't know how bad they hurt me. I understand. I'm not diminishing any of those possibilities in your life. But what I'm saying to you is, if you cannot forgive somebody, you need to check your spiritual birth certificate. Because you haven't received the revelation of God's love for you, that He loves you unconditionally, irregardless of your performance. Thank you for all those amens. One indicator that you are a son of God is that you will love the way God loves. You will forgive the way God forgives, not based on your feelings. You'll forgive the way God's forgiven you. It's a relationship, you see. Now, if you struggle, and I hear people say this sometimes, and I just hope that they're not meaning it the way it comes across. People will say, it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to live the Christian life in such a wicked world. They're expressing that they struggle. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to live the Christian life. May I say to you that you're incorrect. The Christian life is not something you can live. That's your problem. The Christian life is something nobody can live but Jesus. And the way the Christian life is expressed is that Jesus comes and lives inside of you via a spiritual birth that you can't even possibly properly tell people what it is that happened to you. But the Lord comes inside you and you're born of God. And as a result of that, He is living His life through you. Not you trying to live the Christian life. You trying to live the Christian life is religion. Religion. Many times when I'm witnessing or talking to somebody about the Lord, and they'll say, oh, I'm not a religious person. I say, neither am I. And that usually shocks them. I said, I don't like religion. I don't like it at all. And they'll say, well, aren't you a preacher? Yeah. I'm not a religious person. Do you know that there are churches that teach people you must live holy, or you've got to live holy, and you wear your dress a certain length, put your hair in a bun, carry a certain Bible, do this and do that, and you've got to live holy before God. Well, let's peer into your secret life and see how that really is going. Would you mind us coming into your closet? Because if I know humans, because I am one, I would say that there's probably some areas you're coming up short. Even though it may appear that you're living holy on the outside. Did you know that you can live a holy life and not know God? Did you know that you can live a holy life and not know God? The Pharisees. people, Jesus had more trouble with religious people than he did anybody else. The church pretty much rejected him. He had trouble with religious people. And they were living holy, but they didn't recognize the Son of God when he was standing right in front of them. You can live holy and not know God. Jesus stood up for a woman that the Pharisees brought before Jesus. She was just caught in the very act of adultery. I'd like to know how they caught her in the act. Peeping Toms. Somehow they said they caught her in the act and they brought her before Jesus and threw her down right in front of Jesus and says, "Now, teacher, rabbi, the law says that anybody commits adultery, we're supposed to stone them. That's what God's word says. What do you say?" He stooped down, started drawing in the dirt. You want to know what he's drawing in the dirt? Scripture doesn't tell us, but my vivid imagination says he's writing down the names of all the girlfriends these guys have been with. And then he says to them, "You without sin cast the first stone." One by one they dropped the rocks, walked away from the oldest to the youngest. And then Jesus says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked up, wiped away the tears. She said, "They're not here, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn you." But he didn't compromise. He said, "Go and sin no more." Now let me ask you, if you encountered love like that, you were caught red-handed, you're guilty as can be, you deserve punishment, and love says to you, "I'm not condemning you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. There's nothing you can do to stop me loving you. There's nothing you can do more to make me love you more. I love you because I love you because I love you because I'm love. I love you unconditionally, not based on your performance." Now, this woman who encountered love, what do you think happened after this? He said, "Go and sin no more." Do you think that she got out of that situation, went back and hopped back in bed with the adulterer? I'm asking you a question. Why? Why not? She got off the hook, man. She said, "Man, I dodged that bullet. Wow." Do you think she went back and got into bed with that guy? Why? She encountered love like she'd never encountered it before. "This man loves me like no one's ever shown me love like that." And she started to follow him. And that's what will happen. You don't have to be begged to go to church or be begged to do this. When you encounter love, you'll want to follow love. It's a thing that you'll just want to do. If you're here today and you have a habit in your life that you have struggled all your life with, you just can't seem to get free from it. You tried and tried and tried everything. Let me encourage you to do something today. After church, sometime today, go find a place to be alone with God. Go to a park. Go someplace you can be undisturbed. Turn off your cell phone. God already knows all about it. Just talk to him about it. Sit down with him as if he's physically present and talk to him. And say, "Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I've got this habit that I just can't seem to ever get free of. What's wrong? Would you tell me what's wrong?" And then be quiet and listen. Be prepared to write. You see, it's not you trying harder to overcome the habit that's going to ever set you free. That's never going to set you free. It's knowing him better. Knowing him in a way that you've never known yet. There's something missing in your life, and the missing element is this revelation of the love of God that God wants you to have that you don't have yet, and that's why you're not free. That's all it is. And he'll help you. See, it's not actions that produce a relationship. It's the relationship that produces the actions. Religion says it's the actions. No. And Jesus says it's the relationship. Now, I'm going to land the plane. So you can say, praise God, we're going to get out of here. The whole book of 1 John was written so that we could have fellowship with God the way the apostles did. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, scripture says this, we declare to you that which we've seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So we write into these things to you so that our joy may be complete. So it's about having a relationship with God, not a religion, a real, genuine, one-on-one relationship. You know what fellowship is? Most people think fellowship is a dinner. It can include that, but fellowship is not. Fellowship is just a mutual sharing back and forth. If I'm going to have fellowship with Brian, then he's going to talk some, I'm going to talk some. See, and this is what God wants with you, this kind of relationship, where you actually hear His voice. And it's not a strange thing. And it comes to you in through the Word and through a variety of ways. But, you know, now I'm going to land it here. I'm going to be done, so just pay close attention. Getting converted is only the beginning. Most of the time to get people saved in America, my experience has been you have to say something to shock them, to make their eyes open up, because they have been dulled by religion to think that if they're a believer, they are born again. So you have to say something to shock people. And so when you ask someone, hey, you know, have you received Jesus? Many times they'll refer to their baptism. Oh, yeah, I was baptized. Or I go to church. Or I read my Bible. Or I do this. And so most of the time you have to shock people. And a scripture that I use to shock people, where if I don't know whether or not they're really saved, is I ask them, I said, you know, are you a believer? And they say, oh, yeah, I'm a believer. 99% of the time people ask that question. Oh, yeah, I'm a believer. Then I shock them with this verse, James 2:19. Well, did you know that the demons in hell believe? And they tremble. They have to be shocked that believing is not enough. The Lord never called us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. You know what disciples are? They are followers of the Lord. They have a relationship with God on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday basis. They know Him through His Word. They know Him through interaction. They know Him as they walk and they talk and as they pray. They have intimacy with God. They have stories and testimonies to talk about God. God is not interested in just having converts. He wants disciples. Most people quote John 3:16 wrong. I said this a few weeks ago. Most people quote John 3:16 like this. Well, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish. That's not all of it. Forgiveness is a benefit. It's not the goal. Forgiveness of your sins is a benefit, but it's not the goal. The rest of that verse, John 3:16 says, but they may have everlasting life. That's the life of God. They may have eternal life. That's the life of God. It's not about living forever. You live forever even if you're in hell. It's everlasting life. But they may have everlasting life. The life of God in you, flowing through you. I'll elaborate more on that Wednesday night. John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life. He defined it for us. To know you, God. The only true God in Jesus Christ. To know you. That word there, know, is a word mean intimacy. It's the same word that in the Hebrew would have been the same word when it says Adam knew his wife Eve. An intimacy. A relationship. That is real and genuine. The Westminster Confession back in the 1600s churchmen got together and they wrote out a confession of faith so they could identify who real Christians were compared to religious people. The Westminster Confession, part of it says this, and this is it. You ought to memorize this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To enjoy God. Do you enjoy God? Or do you put up with Him? When you are a Christian, you enjoy God. See, I know some of you are ready to go home, take a nap and all that, and that's all good and well, the time and place of that. But boy, when you're starting to enjoy the life of God, you don't want to leave the party. You're enjoying God. That's what's happening on Monday mornings at 9:30 in intercession. Man, we're just enjoying God. They don't want to leave. I have to tell them, I got work to do. No, I don't say that. I'm done with this. John 1:12 is another shocking verse I use to help people who may be religious but not born again. And I help them to realize something. God knows what you believe and what you really don't believe. And let everybody that says they're believers not born again. Jesus said in John 1:12, He made it clear that His purpose in the Word. He said, He came to His own and they did not receive Him. Everybody say, receive. Receive. Put your hands out as if you were about to receive something. If I was about to give you my Bible, Richard, how would you receive it? Yeah, like that. Right. You wouldn't sit there, yep, I receive. No, you take it. That's right. You receive it physically. And the same thing is true spiritually. Believing in God is not enough. Somebody has got to tell you that. And so there has to be a time in your life you receive Jesus as He is. And the Bible says, but as many as received, not believed, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Jesus called, get out of here. They're sons of men and they're sons of God. Jesus was called a son of man to demonstrate His humanity, but He was also the Son of God. So His human part, He called Himself the Son of Man. But you can't just be a son of man. That just means you're human. You have to be a son of God. You have to be born of God by His Spirit. You have to receive Jesus. That's obeying the commandment of love. And after you receive Jesus, then it's quite easy for you to express Jesus without any struggle. It's not hard anymore. Takes all the strife out of it. Okay, I can see you're ready to go. Let's all stand together. And I want to ask you a question. If you have not received Jesus, or you're not sure you have, just be honest. Here's a question. Will you receive Jesus and start following Him today? It's a yes or a no. Plain and simple. If you have, praise God, keep following Him. But if you're not sure, there's no shame in not being sure. Just let's settle the fact. What did He say to do? You must receive Him. How? By faith. How? By prayer to Him right now, talking to Him. Prayer is just talking to God. And believing that He'll do what He said. He said in His Word, if you confess Me with your mouth, confess means to agree with Him, that I am Lord, and believe in your heart that the Father has raised Jesus, who was when He was on earth, from the dead, that He's alive right now. If you'll confess that with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I believe. And I receive. He said, you'll be saved. No hard thing for you to do. The only thing you got to do is humble yourself. You might be a nice person. You may be a religious person. But if you haven't received Him, you're a lost person. So that's what I'm giving a call out today. I'm throwing a big net. I don't know. You look like you're all saved, but I can't tell. I'll test the spirits one day when we have opportunity with you to see if you can forgive like God forgives, and if you'll obey the commandment of love and love like God loves, then you're born of God. So would you bow your head with me? Altar workers, would you come on up and get in place right now? This is very important. Even if it's for one person, God would interrupt the whole church service and say, now, I'm going after this one today because I love him so much. He's believed in me, but he never received me. Today, he's going to receive me. Just open your hands up as if you're receiving a gift. And now, let's settle the issue God's way, according to his word. I want you to say a prayer to God out loud. Let me lead you. I want you to say it out loud enough where you can hear yourself. Dear Lord, I believe in you, but so do demons. So today, as best as I know how, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And by faith, I open up my heart to receive you, Jesus. Right now, come on in. Make me born again. Born of God. Born of love. I have to start somewhere. And here's my start. Today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now you can say it 100 different ways, but if that's what your heart meant today, then you just received him by faith. You don't have a feeling. You may have a feeling. You may not have a feeling. But then you ought to express it. Love is always expressed. And you ought not be ashamed. And so I'm going to invite you, even if you're the only one, to come out of your where your area you're sitting, your row, and come up here to me or any one of these people here and say, I just prayed that prayer. I just received Jesus. And you ought to do that without hesitation. If it's genuine and real, you won't care what anybody thinks. It's between you and God. You've settled an issue in your heart once and for all. Praise God. And if you've already done that, then praise God. Then express the love of God in your life today, wherever you go, whatever you do. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for this altar call. And I pray right now the Holy Spirit draw the one who needs to be here right now with me or these altar workers. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you on the Lord's day, and we'll see you Wednesday night or tomorrow morning in intercession. Amen.